भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी।
श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 13 Rahugana converses with Jarabharat, text 17.
Toir Banchita
and Gurus.
Banchita, being cheated. Hangshakulam, the association of great Paramahamsas or devotees. Shama Vishan, contacting. Arochayan, not being satisfied with. Shilam, their behavior. Upoiti, approaches. Banaran, the monkeys, which are all debauchees with no good character. Tadjati Rashena, by sense gratification in the association of such debauchees. Shunirbrita Indriya, being very satisfied with getting the opportunity of sense gratification. Parashpara, of one another. Udbikshana, by seeing the faces. Bishmrita, who has forgotten. Abodhi, the end of life. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratification and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Please repeat after me. Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of these so-called yogis, swamis, and incarnations, and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes a foolish person becomes disgusted with bad association and comes to the association of devotees and brahmanas and takes initiation from a spiritual master. As advised by the spiritual master, he tries to follow the regulative principles, but due to misfortune he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He therefore gives up the company of devotees and goes to associate with simian people who are simply interested in sex and intoxication. Those who are so-called spiritualists are compared to monkeys. Outwardly, monkeys sometimes resemble sadhus because they live naked in the forest and pick fruits. But their only desire is to keep many female monkeys and enjoy sex. Sometimes so-called spiritualists, seeking a spiritual life, come to associate with Krishna-conscious devotees. But they cannot execute the regulative principles or follow the path of spiritual life. Consequently, they leave the association of the devotees and go to associate with sense gratifiers, who are compared to monkeys. Again, they revive their sex and intoxication, and looking at one another's face, they are thus satisfied. In this way, they pass their lives up to the point of death.
তৈর্বঞ্চিতহংসকুলং সমাবিশন অরোচয়নশীলমুপৈতি বানরান তজ্জাতিরাশেন সুনির্বৃতেন্দ্রিয় পরস্পরদ্বিক্ষণ বিস্মৃতাবধি.
Being cheated by them, the living entity in the forest of the material world tries to give up the association of the so-called yogis, swamis and incarnations and come to the association of real devotees. But due to misfortune, he cannot follow the instructions of the spiritual master or advanced devotees. Therefore, he gives up their company and again returns to the association of monkeys who are simply interested in sense gratification and women. He derives satisfaction by associating with sense gratifiers and enjoying sex and intoxication. In this way, he spoils his life simply by indulging in sex and intoxication. Looking into the faces of other sense gratifiers, he becomes forgetful and thus approaches death. The typical condition of a materialistic person has been described here. A materialistic person tries to enjoy this material nature. But the more he tries to enjoy, the more he becomes kicked around, more he gets kicked around by the illusory material energy of the Lord. Actually, the degree of one's suffering is directly proportionate to one's desire for sense gratification. The more one tries to gratify the senses, the more miserable he becomes. Actually, this material nature is like a prison house. And in a prison house, the more one commits the criminal activities, the more severely he is punished. Similarly, in this material nature, the more one tries to commit the sinful activities in order to get sense gratification, the more he becomes subject to the law of material nature and he receives various kinds of punishments. Now here in this verse, it has been pointed out that in this way, being disgusted in his endeavor to enjoy this material nature, finally he comes in contact with a devotee, a true follower of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or a true follower of the spiritual path. But because he has the desire for sense gratification, he cannot accept the advices of the spiritual master in spite of coming in contact with him. Because what does the spiritual master advise? The spiritual master advises one to give up his sinful life. Because the goal or objective of a bona fide spiritual master is to free his disciples from the bondage of material nature. Now, a bona fide spiritual master knows why the living entities are suffering and how they can become free from their miserable state of existence. But insincere people cannot follow those instructions of the spiritual master. Because they actually accept spiritual life for sense gratification. So here, as it has been pointed out, at first they come in contact with people who, in the name of spiritual life, misdirect them. There are so many yogis and incarnations and swamis in this world who actually teach people or who make a very loud propaganda that they will show them how to really enjoy life. There are so many such people now available nowadays. They have a process called transcendental meditation. They have the lines of transcendental material enjoyment. Actually, they don't understand that the transcendental nature and material nature are diametrically opposed. So there cannot be any compromise between the transcendental nature and material nature. There cannot be any transcendental way to enjoy this material nature. There cannot be. Like, if we really want to enjoy, then we have to get out of the material nature. Just like if somebody wants to really enjoy, or if somebody really wants to become free from his suffering condition in the prison, then he must get out of the prison. Can there be any compromise that one should stay in the prison and enjoy in the prison? Only a fool will try to make such arrangements. Only a fool will try to make arrangements to enjoy in the prison house. But an intelligent man knows that the prison house is meant simply for suffering. Does anyone go to prison house to enjoy? Is there any sane man who will think of going to the prison to enjoy? Never. Similarly, this material nature is like a prison house. And no sane man will ever think of enjoying in this material nature. Only the fools try to enjoy in this material nature. So first they try to enjoy themselves. They think of enjoying by dint of their own strength and influence and money. Like we're seeing, people all over the world, they want money, they want good health, simply to enjoy. But soon, they realize that that's not actually giving them the right kind of enjoyment. They're not really becoming joyful by making all kinds of endeavor with money or thing. So then they approach a spiritualist. They think that the yogi will give them, show them the technique of how to enjoy this material nature. And there is no dearth of cheaters in this world who actually make all kinds of false propaganda. Like, I remember it was so disgusting, long time ago, once in a railway station in the West, I saw one advertisement. There is a poster that says that such and such yogi is giving, it says that if you want mental peace, material prosperity, and healthy sex life, then approach such and such yogi. Now, although I was not a devotee at the time, but the thing was so disgusting that that these cheaters are actually alluring people to enjoy this material nature by means of this yoga system. The yoga system is actually meant for becoming free from material bondage. Yoga system is never meant for indulging in material sense gratification. But there are many such swamis and yogis and in false incarnations of the Lord, false pretending, cheating incarnations, who actually make all kinds of propaganda. Come to me and I will give you real enjoyment. But an intelligent man soon afterwards realizes that these people also cannot really show this way of enjoyment. Like, probably you know, in the West nowadays, it's a very common fashion that these rich people who became very frustrated in their effort to enjoy, they tried all kinds of things to enjoy. They have done all kinds of, they tried all kinds of abominable activities in order to enjoy. But then they've seen that there's no enjoyment. So then they get to know that there is such and such Swami who has a transcendental means of enjoyment. And these people just flock around him. They think that this Swami or this yogi will show me the real way to enjoy. And what these Swamis and yogis do, they just use a very gross technique of sense gratification, which has been described in the Tamasic Tantra. There is a part of Tantra, there are three types of Tantras. Tantra actually means practice. Now there are Sattvic Tantras, there are Rajasic Tantras, and there are Tamasic Tantras. But these Tamasic Tantras are actually meant for animalistic people. Now they use this Tamasic Tantra to misguide these people. In the name of spiritual life, they actually mislead them into deeper and deeper sense gratification. So they, soon, these people become also fed up with this kind of cheating swamis and yogis. Then they may come across a real devotee of the Lord, a bona fide devotee of the Lord, the bona fide spiritual master. But unfortunately, they can't accept the instructions of this bona fide spiritual master. Because the bona fide spiritual master simply tells them to give up their sense gratification and become engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master, the first instruction he gives is give up intoxication, give up meat eating, give up illicit sex, and give up gambling. Now, in this material nature, their sole enjoyment is based on these four activities. They want to enjoy by eating all kinds of garbage. They want to enjoy by losing their senses through intoxication. They want to enjoy through uncontrolled sex life. And they want to enjoy through gambling. But the bona fide spiritual master, in simple, plain and simple word, tells them that give up all your nonsense. If you really want to enjoy, then give up all these sinful activities. Because these activities will never lead you to enjoyment. These activities will simply make yourself more and more miserable. Because in this material nature, the desire for enjoyment or endeavor for enjoyment is somewhat like running after a mirage. Now, if a person is very thirsty in the middle of a desert, and if he runs after a mirage, will his thirst ever be quenched? Never. So a person who knows where real water is, and then the person tells him that, look, don't go that in that direction. That's a mirage. But you turn your face or you move towards the opposite direction and there is oasis. But this person has become so attached to pursuing the illusory mirage that he can't, it becomes very difficult for him to detach himself from that illusory endeavor and turn his face away towards the oasis. So when the bona fide spiritual master tells the person that don't make any endeavor to enjoy in this material nature, give up all your tendencies, give up all your endeavors to enjoy in this material nature. Instead, you try to become attached to the transcendental reality, become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by means of rendering devotional service. Then these people cannot accept that. For the time being, although they approach this genuine devotee, but the moment the genuine devotee actually starts to guide them in the right way, they cannot pursue. They just give up. They give up and run away. So that we can always see that how it actually happens, because many people join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people actually came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And many people even became initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Well, before being initiated, although many people came to Srila Prabhupada, but as soon as they heard about these restrictions, about the following the four regulative principles, they ran away. Actually, millions of people have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, but they were not prepared. They appreciated Srila Prabhupada. They appreciated Srila Prabhupada's teachings. But as soon as it came to giving up these four sinful activities, namely meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, they just fizzled out. They ran away. Prabhupada once told that if instead of four regulative principles, he had three regulative principles, if he just made some compromise and instead of four had three regulative principles, he said his temple would have been filled with people. There would have been thousands of people. He could attract thousands of people if instead of four he had just three regulative principles. What to speak of if he didn't have any regulative principles at all? Then probably everybody would have come to ISKCON. But Prabhupada never made any compromise. Prabhupada used to say that this is the taste, like the taste of their sincerity. This is the taste of their sincerity. Those who are sincere, they will accept these four regulative principles and become engaged in devotional service. But those who are not sincere, they will run away. So, in this way, we can see that thousands of years ago, Bharat Maharaj or Jara Bharat could actually recognize that problem. Even in that age, thousands of years ago, when the living condition, people were much more pious and living condition was much more better spiritually, they still had this problem, because this is the eternal problem of this material nature. People who are interested in sense gratification, they will not aspire for spiritual life, because spiritual life means rejection of all desires for sense gratification, and is very, very difficult for materialistic people. And we can see, like, although many people appreciate Krishna consciousness movement, many people come to our Sunday feast, many people are very closely connected to our society, but they cannot join the movement because they are not prepared to give up their sense gratification. In India, we have hundreds of thousands of life members who really appreciate our movement, but they can't join. And although they appreciate from a distance, but they can't come within and start to follow the regulative principles and pursue a true spiritual life. So they give up the teachings of a bona fide spiritual master, and then they start to associate with monkey-like people. Who are these monkey-like people? The monkey, Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, they also apparently behave like the sadhus, saintly people. The sadhus, they lead a renounced life. And the sign of renunciation, actually, those days was living in a forest, living naked. They wouldn't depend even upon anything. They wouldn't even pick up a piece of cloth to cover themselves up. They would stay in the forest naked and they would just eat whatever comes on their way. This is one type of sadhus, one type of spiritualist. Now monkeys actually resemble that type of spiritualist. But although they live naked in the forest and eat only fruits and roots, but they're very attached to sex life. And there are a bunch of spiritualists, those who pretend, although externally those who pretend to be like saintly people, but internally they are very, very attached to sex life. They have all kinds of illicit connections with women. Especially in countries like India, these things are very common. People in pretending to be sadhus, they are actually very grossly involved in sense gratification. Actually, that calamity entered even into Mahaprabhu's movement soon after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. Mahaprabhu's mission also faced this crisis and facing a great calamity, which was saved by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. There are so many apasampradayas. Those who claim that they are Mahaprabhu's, they are actually following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Those upper sampradayas are Aul, Baul, Lara, Leri, Karta, Bhaja, etc., etc. And they are basically attached to sense gratification. They dress like devotees, but they indulge in all sinful activities. They may not eat meat, but they eat fish. they say that Nityananda Prabhu allowed them to eat fish. Then they gamble. They play game of dice to pass their time. They don't chant in the Japamala, but instead they play game of dice. Gamble. And then they have many women. Sometimes this Baul Sampradaya, they dress in saffron, and they're always seen with a woman who is also dressed in saffron. So in this way, there are many upper sampradayas who are solely involved in sense gratification. But Mahaprabhu's teaching is very plain and simple, that if you want to enjoy the transcendental bliss, if you want to enjoy transcendental bliss, then you have to give up all endeavors for material sense gratification. You have to give up your sense gratification. And Prabhupada simplified that point by saying that you can't ride stepping on two boats. You can't put one boat on one foot and the other boat on the other foot. Now what will happen? Soon you'll just drown in the river. And another example Prabhupada gave is the marriage party that was going at night by boat. In the morning they found that they didn't make any movement. They didn't make any progress. Why? Because the anchor was stuck. If the anchor is stuck in the river, No matter how hard you start to row the boat, will the boat move? No. Similarly, unless and until we lift our anchor from this material nature by giving up our desires for material enjoyment, we can't make spiritual progress. And these anchors of material attachments or this desire for sense gratification ultimately acts like anarthas and offenses. As long as we have anarthas and as long as we are committing offenses, we cannot make spiritual progress. Unless and until we have become free from material sense gratification, we cannot make spiritual progress. So when one comes in contact with a devotee and accepts his leadership, the devotee's leadership, in the form of accepting him as a spiritual master, he must abide by his instructions. If one wants to make real spiritual progress, then he must listen to the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master's instructions are very simple. So give up your sense gratification and become engaged in devotional service. And we can see that most wonderfully manifested in Srila Prabhupada. And when the person is sincere by following the instructions of the spiritual master, he makes spiritual progress. And another thing is that the personality of spiritual master is so attractive that the sincere people automatically become attracted to him. Like when Srila Prabhupada was in America, he tried to preach everywhere. Prabhupada started to preach at first in uptown to the high-class New Yorkers. But then he became frustrated. He saw that these people are not sincere. So he rejected them. Then finally he came to the lowest, the most degraded part of New York City, the Bowery. And in 26 Second Avenue in Lower East Side, Srila Prabhupada set up his first temple. And that place, that area was filled with hippies. That area was the place for the hippies in mid-60s. And they started to come to Srila Prabhupada. And because there was some sincerity in them, and because Srila Prabhupada's personality was so attractive, that they immediately became attracted by him. And the attraction of the spiritual master is so great that the disciple, sincere disciple, follows whatever the spiritual master says. And that was most wonderfully manifest in Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Those who came, although they had many, many bad habits, and they were very badly misdirected in their lives, but because they were sincere, they were attracted by Srila Prabhupada's personality. And when Srila Prabhupada told them, do this and don't do that, they accepted that instruction of Srila Prabhupada very sincerely. Prabhupada told them, chant Hare Krishna. And they started to chant. Prabhupada's first instruction, or Prabhupada's main medicine, was the holy name of the Lord. And they were attracted to chanting. And by chanting, they became purified. And then they started to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada said, don't eat meat. So they gave up meat eating. Prabhupada said, don't take any intoxication. That was difficult. Because they're very attached to intoxication. Because their whole life, they were not so much into eating, but they were into taking intoxication. And so giving up meat eating was not so difficult. And especially when that meat eating was substituted by all kinds of delicious prasadam that Srila Prabhupada cooked. So they very easily gave up meat eating. And they accepted the process, they accepted vegetarian food habits. They actually used to look forward to Srila Prabhupada's invitations on Sundays. And whenever they came, Prabhupada would always offer them something. Either a piece, it could be as simple as a piece of apple. Or sometimes Prabhupada would cook himself and invite them, come have some prasad with me. So, by getting the higher taste of Krishna prasad, they gave up meat eating. But difficult was giving up intoxication. And mind you, many of them were very, very heavily involved in taking intoxication. But Prabhupada's magic touch was so wonderful, and they also became aware of the fact that the real enjoyment is not taking intoxication. The real enjoyment was actually in pursuing spiritual life. Because they could see that when they used to take intoxication, they would get some enjoyment for the time being, but then when they would come down, then it would be very, very difficult, very, very painful. So they actually formed a slogan that stay high forever. One takes intoxication to get high. But for how long can one stay high in the material nature, in the material way? Like even an aeroplane may go very high, 10,000 meters high, but after a while it has to come down. As long as the fuel is there, it will stay high. But when the fuel is finished, then it has to come down. Now riding high on intoxicants, they were experiencing some sort of joy, but the come down was very, very difficult. But after chanting the holy name, they saw that there is no come down. There is no need for coming down in this enjoyment. They go high and higher without coming down. So this is how they actually found a positive substitute to intoxicants. And that's the holy name. And then giving up sex life also was difficult for them because they were leading a very promiscuous life of licenses life. They were leading a very, very degraded sort of a life, living like animals. And that was also difficult, but by getting the taste of Krishna consciousness, they could give that up also. And gambling was not so difficult for them to give up because they were not really into that. So in this way, these people, by Srila Prabhupada's magic touch, could give up these sinful activities and became situated in Krishna consciousness. And then when they started to preach on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, they started to attract other sincere people. And in this way, Krishna consciousness movement started to grow. But we see that the bottom line, the underlying factor for the success of Krishna consciousness is sincere people. Krishna consciousness is not meant for insincere people. This ISKCON society is exclusively meant for sincere people. There is no room for insincere people. Once somebody asked Prabhupada, in India, there was a misconception that ISKCON is actually a CIA setup. ISKCON devotees are actually CIA agents. So some reporters came and asked Prabhupada whether there are some CIAs in ISKCON. Whether there are some CIA agents in ISKCON. Then Prabhupada's answer to them was that, why don't you come and stay with us for a few days? And you will see for yourself that the life that one leads in our temple will not allow any such insincere people to stay for a long time. Somebody may come and try it out for 2-3 days, but for how long a CIA agent will surrender to getting up at 3:30 in the morning and attending Mangal Arati. For how long a CIA agent will give up intoxication and meat eating and illicit sex life and gambling? So this is actually the first hurdle that one has to cross in order to display his sincerity. This is the taste of sincerity. And no unqualified people will be able to stay in ISKCON for long. And those who stay, they will automatically get the taste, this taste of spiritual life. That's why Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about search to about reaching those sincere people. Actually, when the devotees, when people see us, they feel quite negative. In many cases, I've noticed, especially in the West, and they feel, I mean, these people are strange. They are dressed in a strange way. They have a strange hairstyle, and then they chant, they jump up and down in the streets, singing some strange songs. They conclude in their minds that these ISKCON devotees, these Hare Krishnas, are a bunch of weirdos. But Srila Prabhupada would not make any compromise. Srila Prabhupada made it very clear, no, devotees must go out in Harinam dressed as devotees. And this is the way. We must chant Hare Krishna and no compromise. Prabhupada himself did it. Like when Prabhupada went to America, he went there as a perfect sadhu, dressed as a sadhu. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers told him that he must learn how to use knife and fork, because otherwise he'll have difficulty eating in the West. Then Prabhupada did not surrender to that idea. On the other hand, Prabhupada's idea was that I will make them to give up using knife and forks. And he did that. Prabhupada showed them how to use the fork given by Krishna himself, our right hand. Krishna has given us the most wonderful and most versatile fork to eat. And one must eat with his right hand. Krishna has given us the hands for its proper utility. In spiritual sky, no one uses knives and forks. They don't need to use it. Actually, it's a very uncivilized habit. Although in the West, people think that unless and until people use, those who don't use knife and fork, they're uncivilized. This is a very common understanding in the West, that those who don't use knife and fork are uncivilized. But actually, if we go deep, then we realize that in the West, people use knife and fork because they don't use their hands. They don't wash their hands, not use their hands. They don't wash their hands. Their hands are so dirty that they themselves feel kind of reluctant to use their hands. So this knife and forks and chopsticks and other such extension of our fingers are actually due to their dirty physical condition. They would rather wash the knives and forks than wash their own hands. But Srila Prabhupada actually taught them that the most healthy way is to use your hands. Ayurveda says that eating, actually, the process of digesting, what we eat must be digested. And first the process of digestion actually begins by touching with your hands. As you touch the food with your hands, you actually become familiar with the food and digestion becomes easier. Anyway, so in this way, Prabhupada actually revolutionized the entire world. He taught people how to give up sinful activities and lead a spiritual life in a perfect setup. And that perfect setup is actually the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But unfortunately, most of the people will not be able to join ISKCON. Why? Because they are not sincere. They would rather prefer to remain with the monkey-like gurus and yogis, but they won't actually take the association of Paramahamsas like Srila Prabhupada and the devotees of ISKCON. That's why Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about reaching out to people. Reach out to people and bring them in. That's why Prabhupada was sending his disciples all over the world. Go out and spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that in every town and village, this movement will spread. Actually, we are not so much concerned. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not so much concerned about spreading the movement as such. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main concern was rescuing the living entities from their miserable condition. So that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada did that through his disciples and engaging them in distributing his books. Prabhupada had the most important message, the most sublime message to convey to this world. But the medium, the means for conveying was books. Because if Prabhupada himself spoke, then he could actually speak to only a handful of people. Prabhupada could not speak to more than, and no matter how loudly he spoke, he could speak only to 100 or 200 people. But he actually accepted the means or medium of the books, which, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was Brihat Mridanga, the big Mridanga. The sound of the regular Mridanga goes up to how far? Few hundred meters. But this Brihat Mridanga can go from one continent to another continent. The sound of Brihat Mridanga can vibrate all over the world. And that Brihat Mridanga is Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on book distribution because of that. He wanted that people should read these books. And we have seen ourselves that what a wonderful potency these books have. Like, most of us, although in the beginning, may have been rather reluctant to come in contact with the Hare Krishna devotees. We may even have been afraid in the beginning, seeing their shaved head and saffron robes and weird behavior in the middle of the streets. But as soon as we got Srila Prabhupada's books and started reading them, we got a totally different understanding. Like, there was a time when I personally, when I used to see the devotees on one side of the road, I used to take the other side of the road to avoid them. Because in the West, naturally the devotees used to approach the Indian first. So I had to at some point, I used to virtually avoid them. If I saw that, because the devotees used to always come and speak to me. I never took the devotees seriously. I never thought that they have such an important message to convey. Even when I thought of taking to spiritual life, I decided to go back to, I went back to India. I went to India in search of a guru. But I never thought of joining ISKCON. Not only in India, searching for a guru, I was searching for a guru for about 1.5 years. And I got completely frustrated because all the while, I came across all these monkeys that Prabhupada described here. And ISKCON temple was not too far away from my house in Calcutta. And often I walked by ISKCON temple, but never thought of going in and finding out what they have. But the first time I got a book, The Nectar of Devotion, and started reading it, I realized this is it. And actually, when I was reading the book, I made up my mind, this is it, and I'm going to join Hare Krishna. And I'm sure that, I mean, this sort of things must have happened to all of you, or most of you. How many of you joined by reading Srila Prabhupada's books? So it's either books or prasadam. How many of you joined by eating prasadam? So this is how we can see how potent Srila Prabhupada's books are. Like, externally they may not appreciate us, externally they may even hate us. But once they start reading Prabhupada's books, and if they have a grain of sincerity in them, they'll end up becoming a devotee. Therefore, it's very important that we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We have gained by reading Prabhupada's books. Now, Mahaprabhu said, janma sarthak kori karo paro upakar. You do good to others, and make your life successful. In order to make your life, in order to make our life successful, we have to do good to others. Now, how can we do good to others? How did we receive the highest benediction ourselves, spiritually? If we receive the highest benediction by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, then we have an obligation to others to also give them Prabhupada's books. So with that spirit, we have to keep distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, everybody in ISKCON realizes the importance of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, last year the GBCs made a policy that the GBCs and gurus and sannyasis and all the leaders of our society must emphasize book distribution. And that is, whenever they speak, they must tell their followers, they must tell the other devotees how important it is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And devotees actually need to realize that. Otherwise, if we just distribute books in a mechanical way without really understanding why we should distribute books, then the devotees will not be able to keep up their enthusiasm so much. Therefore, in order to keep up their spirit, we must constantly remind them why we must distribute books. Prabhupada emphatically pointed out, we are not distributing books to make money. Money will come even if we don't distribute books. Actually, when you stop distributing books, we are making more money. Soon after Prabhupada's disappearance, when some deviation took place in ISKCON, more money was coming. But what was the result of that money? That money was not Lakshmi, that money came as Maya. And she took away many, many devotees from ISKCON. Through book distribution, Lakshmi Devi herself comes. And Prabhupada also emphasized that we must read the books while we are distributing this book. Prabhupada used to say that, don't think that I am writing this book for others and for you to sell. Prabhupada was telling that, that if you don't read the books and somebody comes and asks you, so did you read the book? When you go to sell the books, and you ask him, did you read the book? He said, no sir, I don't read these books. These books are for you to read. And my Guru Maharaj wrote these books for you to read and for me to sell. No, we must read the books. We must know what is there in this book. So that while we are distributing the books, we can give them a very, very profound understanding of what's written in these books. And also, our behavior must be exemplary when you are distributing books. Because if somebody takes the book, but do not feel favorable towards us, he won't really read the books. But if someone has a favorable understanding, if someone is favorably disposed to a book distributor and feels that he's a very nice person, so he will with the first opportunity, start reading the book. So this person is so nice, and this book was given to him by me, given to me by him. So let me see what is there in this book that made him such a nice person. So while distributing books, we must be exemplary ourselves, so that people will automatically be interested to become devotees. And Prabhupada was a perfect example for as a gentleman. Like the other day, Dhananjay Prabhu was actually, we are taking prasad together, and Dhananjay Prabhu, who is one of the first disciples of Prabhupada from England, he was telling that one day, Dhananjay Prabhu, Trivikram Maharaj asked Dhananjay Prabhu to give a massage to Prabhupada. He just wanted to give him some facility to serve Srila Prabhupada. So Dhananjay Prabhu was very reluctant. I mean, he was afraid to go in front of Prabhupada and give a massage. So anyway, Trivikram Maharaj pushed him. So Dhananjay Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada started to ask him, "So, where are you from?" So he said, "I'm from Scotland." So Prabhupada said, "I used to know a Scottish lord. I used to know a Scotsman. He was a lord. I met him when I was in college." And then Prabhupada asked, "Do you know any lord from Scotland?" So Dhananjay Prabhu said, "No." So Prabhupada asked, "Do you know the British history? I studied British history in school." And so he asked, "Do you remember when was the Battle of Trafalgar?" And so Dhananjay Prabhu replied rightly. Then Prabhupada asked a few other questions, the Battle of Roses and so and so forth. And Dhananjay Prabhu was feeling that this person doesn't actually have to speak to me like that. Because Prabhupada is in the spiritual platform. He is constantly seeing Krishna and his associates in their pastimes. But just to make him at home, Prabhupada came down to his level. And he was talking about British history and Scottish lords. So this is how a devotee, a perfect devotee behaves. He actually makes everyone at home. Another time, actually we are discussing about Prabhupada as a perfect gentleman. So another devotee was explaining, I forgot who it was, one of the senior devotees. We all were taking prasadam in Mayapur and we were discussing about Srila Prabhupada. So another devotee actually mentioned that Prabhupada would go to morning walk in Bombay, and many people used to also walk in the morning on the beach near Juhu. And often Prabhupada would nod at the passing people and say Hare Krishna, or even sometimes Prabhupada would say good morning. Good morning, how are you? And this was just Prabhupada was leaving, a pure devotee was leaving a perfect impression in their mind as a perfect gentleman. Because the way we behave, people actually notice that. And then this little smile, little sincere gesture goes a long way in our preaching. And on the other hand, a small little mistake can also ruin our preaching. So, as Srila Prabhupada's representative, we must be very careful what kind of impression we are leaving behind us. And then, the people that we are cultivating, we must also be very exemplary. Or we must say that the people that we have approached, we must make it a point to cultivate them. Just by giving a book is not the end in itself. We must make sure that they are reading the books, they're understanding the books, so that someday they will come to the temple and become a devotee. Actually, our main objective is to make them into devotees. Make them into not only devotees, make them into pure devotees. Actually, all of us have that great responsibility to make pure devotees out of people around us. And that is an order by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
আমার আজ্ঞায় গুরু হইয়া তার অন মাই অর্ডার ইউ বিকাম এ স্পিরিচুয়াল মাস্টার অ্যান্ড দিস ইন্টারন্যাশনাল সোসাইটি ফর কৃষ্ণ কনশিয়াসনেস ইজ অ্যাকচুয়ালি এ সোসাইটি অফ স্পিরিচুয়াল মাস্টার প্রভুপাদ ওয়ান্টেড টু মেক ব্রাহ্মণস মিন্স টিচার্স ফর দ্য সোসাইটি দ্যাট মিন্স স্পিরিচুয়াল মাস্টার্স ফর দ্য সোসাইটি সো এভরিবডি মাস্ট এভরিবডি হ্যাজ Everybody in ISKCON has a very big responsibility, irrespective of who he is. He may be a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a banaprasthi, he may be a man, he may be a woman, he may be old, he may be young. Everyone in ISKCON has that responsibility. To preach and make pure devotees out of people around us. And that needs a lot of cultivation, just like the guru's most important responsibility is to cultivate his disciple. The guru, when he accepts the responsibility of a disciple, his main concern is, how am I going to make him into a pure devotee? So, all of us have this responsibility. How the people that we are coming in contact with, how we are going to make them into pure devotees? Sometimes even if we have to go and knock at their door and ask them, are you reading the books? We have to do that. Sometimes we may even go to them and tell them that, okay, today I have come to cook something for you. Or we can invite them to come to a temple, Sunday feast, and do all kinds of things to cultivate people. And actually it goes a long way. Actually in this world, although everybody wants to have a friend, but nobody has a friend. But the devotees of Krishna, the Hare Krishna movement, Hare Krishna devotees, the ISKCON devotees, are the only friends to the living entities. Because a Vaishnava is the only person who is a genuine friend to the living entities. And everybody is dying to have a friend. So if we can cultivate them properly, if we can relate to them properly, they will respond. They'll see that the devotees are their real friends. Like we have seen ourselves, although we had so many friends before, but none of them were actually real friends. But the devotees are our real friends. A friend in need is a friend indeed. So when, at the time of our need, the one who comes forward and helps us out is a real friend. And the devotees are always doing that. They're not waiting for the good time of people. They're just waiting for the people to face different crises, and then they go and tap at their door, knock at their door. Can I help you? Therefore, one thing we must have, everybody must have noticed, like we don't really like to go to the wedding of people. But in the funeral, we like to go. And because at the time of funeral, at the time when people have died, someone is really feeling heavy in the heart, then the message of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada moves in, enters in very smoothly. But at the time of wedding, they're just enjoying. They don't have time for you. Even if they invite you, they don't want you to be around for too long. But when someone died in the family, when some near one died, at the time of funeral, they're all ears, and they will accept whatever you tell. So we actually want to approach people when they're in need, not when they're in an enjoying mood. So we should actually wait for the time when they really need us, and that's the time we go to them and show them that we are their real friends. And if we all keep preaching with a sincere spirit, Krishna consciousness will spread very effectively, the way it is spreading. We are seeing how Krishna consciousness is spreading in leaps and bounds all over the world. Srila Prabhupada actually planted the seed and made the arrangements. Prabhupada actually planted the seed and made it grow. And now, we have to actually take advantage of the fruits that are growing in this tree of Srila Prabhupada. Tree that Srila Prabhupada planted.
And taking advantage of these fruits means taking advantage of bringing everybody in ISKCON and turning this material, miserable material world into Vaikuntha. Hare Krishna, I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comments? Yes, Guru Shakti.